on Wednesday, October 24th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta and BusinessRadioX.com, a proud 2012 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And I'm Dana Barrett.
And we've got a great show lined up for you today. This morning in the studio, we are joined by Matt Futrell with Perennial Properties and the Pencil Factory Lofts in downtown. And along with him is Doug Kalor, who has just opened the Drafting Table, which is a new restaurant. I think it might be a bar too, huh?
Doug. A little bar.
Yeah,
yes.
a couple beers available. Yeah. Excellent. So it's a cool new restaurant right there at Pencil Factory. Lot of great stuff going on down in the southeast portion of downtown. And of course, Dan Williams, membership manager at Central Atlanta Progress, with us this morning as well. Welcome,
Dan.
Good
morning.
Hey, guys. Glad to have you.
You know, it's funny. I love that we were trying to actually make Matt the owner of the whole thing. I'm sure his company would appreciate that. Maybe they'll just give you the Pencil Factory Lofts as a gift.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to be the owner. You look like a pretty young guy, so that'd be kind of a good accomplishment probably at your stage.
Yeah, it would be.
Okay, excellent.
Everybody's getting promoted here.
That's right.
On the Good Morning Atlanta show.
We just give out titles and property and, you know, whatever. Someone can sue us later, I guess.
Careful there, Dana.
Eh, why? Why bother? I like that. What does it ask? Forgiveness, not permission. Yeah, that's me.
Speaking of which,
yes.
Let's move to the news headlines.
Which I always need to ask forgiveness for, the news headlines. All right, before we get into the local news, I want to talk about one story that caught my eye in the technology world. It's not a big story, but I just want to bring it up because this stuff drives me crazy. So Apple's new iPad Mini.
The Mini.
The Mini has been announced, I guess, and it's going to be bigger than it was projected to be, and also a little bit more expensive. And this is what bugs me about it. How many choices do we need? Why? You got the little phone, you got the big iPad, you got the 20 million different laptops that all look the same, and I'm just confused. I don't understand.
It's an interesting move for them, because apparently Steve Jobs once had a long, you know, conversation about this with several team members at Apple, saying we will never go there. We're not going to try and split in between the two devices.
And here they are.
Apparently it's come to that. I think that was the last final note on the matter, was if we have to go there, we will, but really didn't want to.
Okay, but so here's the thing. I guess from a price point, right, it's supposed to knock out some of the competitors like the Kindle Fire and the Barnes & Noble one, whatever that's called, the Nook or whatever. So I get the price point thing, but the size, if you're an Apple person already and you're like, okay, I'm ready to buy a new toy, and then you go in there and you're like, okay, now what do? Do I buy the one that I can hold in my hand or hold in two hands? And this one's a tiny bit heavier. This one's a tiny bit lighter. And like, is the computing...
Goldilocks, something just perfect for everybody.
Oh, God. It drives me... It's like toothpaste now. You know, there's the clean mint and the fresh mint and the spear mint and the other mint. Does anybody really know the difference? Do they all taste the same? I think they do. Do they all clean... If you buy the extra whitening, do your teeth actually get extra white? I don't think so. It's frustrating. Anyway.
It's a land of choice.
I can't take it.
Right.
I mean, these things are supposed to, like, this technology, the iPads and all that, right? It's supposed to, like, make your life better, because now you can, like, have all this power at your fingertips, right? You can take credit cards on your phone and you can do all this really cool stuff. But the reason you need all that is because you have to spend 4 hours in the store figuring out which one to buy.
That's
true. Drive you nuts. All right.
Maybe they'll have to put Starbucks in Best Buy now.
I think they might have to. I think you're on to something. You know, speaking of Starbucks and national news, I have noticed, I don't know if you guys have noticed, Starbucks really never used to advertise. I mean, you really never saw any Starbucks advertisement. They were
just in your face.
They were just everywhere on every street corner and in every, you know, place that would serve their coffee, and that was that. And you saw their logo and that was it. But now I am seeing Starbucks ads all over the place. Have you guys noticed that? They're advertising that, like, I think it's Verismo or whatever it is. They're in-home coffee maker.
Yeah, they now do use a lot of spend on traditional advertising. It's very,
very interesting
strange.
Change in their strategy, because you see them now on banner ads and on the web. And I just was watching TV last night, saw a commercial.
And you're right. It is odd, because you can't really walk down the street without seeing a Starbucks commercial, i.e. somebody carrying a cup of Starbucks coffee, or the actual establishment itself.
It's true. Though, I guess, because of that home coffee maker, maybe you don't know that that exists without some commercials. I don't know. So, anyway, I love my Keurig and I'm not switching, but whatever. Moving on. Okay, so now let's talk about Atlanta. You know I like lists. I do love lists. And there's a lot of them this week. I have a lot of lists. But they all
good
sort
lists.
Of... Well, yeah, Dan will like them because they all sort of end up with Atlanta and Georgia being a good place to be.
Right?
Right. Because, first of all, Georgia has been ranked as the 33rd most taxed state. 33rd most taxed state. But 33rd isn't bad.
It's not
I mean,
bad
it's
at
not
all.
Like we're first.
We're pretty far down there.
Yeah.
We're further down in some particular metrics, but yeah, that's about right.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
So if you're, you know, looking to move somewhere, you want to go somewhere where the taxes are lower. Ding, ding, ding. Georgia.
Bam.
Bam. Okay. Also, if you want to buy a house, this is a good and bad thing. Bad for if you're already here and own a home because the
housing prices are down, right?
Yeah. Home values down 2.2% in the third quarter. So if you're trying to sell your place, that's not so great. And probably you have some thoughts about that with people renting over there at a pencil factory. But you know, the good news is if you're buying a property, still a good time to get in this market. And on that note, Atlanta's housing market is the number two most affordable.
Hey.
Hey. Oh.
All right.
Hey. I like
now,
it.
Now, how are we defining Atlanta? Anyway, does it say?
It says metro.
Okay,
Atlanta.
Right.
So not just downtown.
Yeah, property's pretty cheap out there in, you know.
Yeah.
In
name
East,
name your county, right? Yeah.
That was me not cursing in case anyone was curious.
You know, but the city of Atlanta, you know, you talk to people, and I think we've talked about this on the show, and you know, you've talked about parking and how people are like, oh, it's expensive. And then you're like, really? Because I'm from New York, you know, like it's not expensive at all. So yeah, the city is, it obviously, you know, property's more here, but it's not.
You know, it's funny because I have often referred to Atlanta. No, you're not going to like this one, Dan. But I have often referred to Atlanta as like the Hotel California because once you come here, you can never leave. And
that's true.
Really,
I live in Los Angeles, and I come back here. I still live here too.
Yeah,
so.
You can't. It's like you can't escape this place once you're here because one of the reasons is because it is so affordable. So
right.
You get here. Like I came here from the Northeast, as did my lovely co-host, and. You know, you get here and you start paying these kind of prices for parking and for housing and for gas and for whatever and lower taxes and all that stuff. And then you think about going to California or the Northeast again and you go like, yeah, I really like that, but I think I'm just going to visit there and come back here and save some money.
Well, I think that's a selling point that the chamber uses and, you know, maybe not so many words, but essentially, yeah, that we do have a record of people staying in Atlanta and really putting down roots. I mean, we are a city with a lot of people from elsewhere, but these people do tend to stay. We're not a really highly transient city like, you know, maybe a Denver or some of these other places that are kind of known for that. You know, we are really known for people kind of coming here, putting down roots, starting businesses, you know, getting involved in some, you know, the companies that we have here.
Yeah, we had a guest on one of our shows yesterday, Emily Fu, who is an international businesswoman. And she came here in the 70s, and she was sort of like one of the few Asian people here at the time, she was telling us, and she was going into her whole story. But she was like, I came here in the 70s, loved it, and I'm staying. And I'll be here for another 34 years or whatever it was. I mean, it's pretty impressive,
that's
you
great.
Know? Wow. I mean, I think there is definitely some kind of... It's Hotel California, just saying. All right, in other list-related news, we are eighth... Georgia, the whole state, not just the city, but we are eighth for online shopping. So apparently we don't have enough to do and we just sit at home and buy CRAP online.
Right. Well, I think you've bumped us up from what, 13 to, you know, is that mostly you, Dana?
It could be me.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie. It could be me. I certainly do a lot of online window shopping. I don't always buy, but I do find myself sucked into the internet shopping thing, looking at products and lusting after outfits and things like that on a regular basis.
And the shopping season is going to be heating up here in a bit. And even though you do have to pay sales tax now on your online shopping, it's just so much more convenient.
It is. You can avoid all the lines and all the crazy like parking lots and mall parking lots and whatever. You know how crazy Buckhead gets like right around that Phipps and Lennox area starting probably now, you know, starting in the next couple of weeks. You can't even drive through there ever. It's like a gridlock, but that's not in your downtown area. So you can feel good about that.
Well, take Marta.
No good luck here. That's right, Mr. Walker. How's that going? How's the walking
awesome.
Going?
Awesome.
You're enjoying it?
Yep.
For listeners who haven't tuned in, when Dan's been on the show before, he has no car.
Zilch.
He has given up wheels. Nuka,
right? Yeah, no, it's going great. I'm about to take my second megabus trip. I'm going down to Jacksonville next weekend. And I don't know. I'm figuring all kinds of things out. I found out the other night that getting to East Atlanta is like a cinch.
Really?
Like, it is so easy from, you know, because I've always been like, East Atlanta is so hard to get to from MARTA, you know, or based on MARTA, because there's, you know, there's no rail that goes down there. But if from Five Point Station, there is a direct shot. That bus is like, there's no stops. It gets on the interstate. You're there just as fast as you could be in a car. It's easy. Now, if you stay in East Atlanta past the time that the bus runs, you're going to have to get a cab home. But, yeah.
Okay.
Just throwing that out there.
I've always been a little scared of the bus.
The bus?
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. The bus
is fun. But I love the bus.
The bus intimidates me. What if you get on the wrong bus and it takes you to like Birmingham or something?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's where numbers come in, Dana. Just
what?
Just know the number. The number, right?
You keep looking out the window.
I mean, you're woke up every day with the number in your face. Like, I know I have to get up at 7. You know, it's the same principle.
So you have
just
to do some homework.
A number on a screen. You just look for the number that you need.
Which bus goes to?
I think that's 74 from downtown to East Atlanta.
Okay.
But you know, there's
I ride the number 2 a lot. You will see me on the number 2 bus.
Okay. Yeah. I'm on the short bus, mostly. That's neither here nor there. So you have to do some research ahead of time and know what number you're looking for.
Sure.
Is that how it works?
Sure.
Okay.
But the best part of the MARTA website is the plan your trip.
The trip planner.
Oh,
trip
planner
very helpful.
Thing.
Yeah, don't use anything else. You'll get really confused and frustrated. Just go straight to the trip planner. Tell it where you're trying to go.
And it'll tell you.
It'll tell you what you're doing. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so when you get on the bus, can you use your Breeze card?
Oh yeah. Okay. Or and cash. That's the other thing. The advantage of the bus is you can use cash. You can't use cash to get on. I mean, you have to use cash to get the Breeze card, but you could just give cash straight to them.
And what is it? $2.50? Like
$2.50?
$2.50.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good to know. What if you don't have direct exact change? You're screwed. You can't give them a 20.
They take debit cards or credit
cards? No, they don't. Yeah, they buses don't do that. No. Yeah, we're not quite there.
A lot of people don't carry cash anymore.
I know.
Yeah,
I noticed,
right.
So just load up your Breeze card. I buy like 25 at a time, and then I always know that I've got plenty of rides.
There we go. We got a true urbanist here. That's the way to be.
You guys are awesome. All right. Well, I'm getting there. I'm working on it. Not quite there yet. All right. Speaking of other things I love, first of all, I had a story about a restaurant, but I'm not going to tell it because we have a restaurateur in the room. We're going to focus on your restaurant, not that one. Stupid restaurant, Buckhead. Whatever. One thing I love almost as much as lists is complaining via Twitter. Everyone knows that. I love tweeting my customer service complaints because it really does work, you know? I mean, I'm sure you guys have experienced this, you know, maybe not. You've only been open for a couple of weeks.
My other restaurants have, yeah.
Yeah, your other restaurants have. So, you know, people go on and they tweet at you angrily, like, your service sucks, blah. And then you're like, immediately have to respond because you don't want that out there unresponded to.
Absolutely. Right.
So the story that I grabbed out of the business headlines was not an Atlanta story. Well, I guess it sort of was because it did happen here. But the children's author, Judy Blume, very famous children's author, went on Twitter the other day to publicly express her outrage with Delta Airlines. She was trying to make a connecting flight in Atlanta from New York to wherever she was going. And her and several other passengers from the New York flight went racing through the concourse and got to their flight with minutes to spare, but the doors were shut and they wouldn't let them on. So she tweeted her anger at Delta. And it was important enough that it made the headlines, which I love. And apparently Delta tried to respond to her and she did not answer. Like, apparently they tried to tweet back and start a conversation with her and she was like, eh. She gave him the proverbial finger. I'm just saying. She didn't actually, but she didn't respond. So anyway, Judy Blume making the headlines with her Twitter. And she's not a young woman anymore. So good for her for being up on technology and knowing how to express her outrage. Just saying. All right. So speaking of Twitter, you have experienced?
Yeah. We have other restaurants I have, yeah.
And how do you handle it? Do you get on it right away? Or?
Yeah, usually one of the staff members, like one of the GMs who's ever in the store will respond.
Yeah. You know. Sorry you had that experience, that kind of thing?
Yeah, we've had a few. People like to voice their opinion off of social media.
Yeah.
You know, they're food critics. Everyone's a food critic now, so.
Yeah.
What's your take on, like, Yelp and those kind of sites?
Yelp the same way. I mean, it can be great, but I think, and we got some Yelp reviews on the drafting table now, which everything's been excellent, which is great. But I think people just love to voice their opinion.
Sure.
And you'll notice, you'll start seeing if they just have little experience, like sometimes just overcooked, and then they'll write a, you know, paragraphs about it and stuff, and try, and then you start trying to nitpick this and that, and
right.
You know, if we're human, we make mistakes. It's
right.
Just part of the industry, but.
But you know what's interesting about all of that, I think all this technology eventually is going to settle out, and the important things will stick, and some of it's just going to fade away, I hope, over time. But I think it's really interesting, because as much as I say I love to complain on Twitter, because I do find that it works, I don't read anybody else's complaints on Twitter. I don't even read anybody else's stuff
except
on Twitter
Judy
at all.
Bloom.
Except for only because it made the headlines. But I don't sit there and read people's Twitter feeds. I just don't. If I go on there to post something, I might read the few posts that are right around what I posted, and that's about it. I don't search on there for news. I don't look, you know, I don't really use it except for to either promote myself and some project I'm working on, or maybe retweet something a friend has done. Right. Usually they have to ask me, though, like verbally to do that, you know, or to complain. But I wonder, you know, they say, and I think there's been some statistics, you know, of how much is just out there that no one ever sees. Like, of your, you know, 20,000 Twitter followers, how many actually are reading your tweets?
Sure.
You know, something like 1% or something.
Wow.
I mean, I think it's really low. No, honestly, I do think it's really, really low.
Right.
It's really low. I'm sure it depends on who you are.
Some people are really into it, you know, and I have been, you know, fairly passive in my tweeting as well over the last couple of years. However, I do prefer it over Facebook, but I won't get into why on this particular show.
Oh, boy.
However, what I did this week, which was kind of interesting, was I was following Twitter while I was watching the presidential debate.
Oh.
And, like, you could tell, you know, like, I mean, there was a lot of activity.
Yeah.
And it was interesting just to get people's point of view. And they're, like, slinging on comments instantly.
Yeah.
Right as they're coming out of the candidate's mouth.
Now, were you following it by looking at specific hashtags, or how were you
watching?
No,
I was just looking at all the people that I follow.
Okay.
And what they were all. Apparently, I follow a fairly politically vociferous group.
Yeah.
Everybody had something to say.
Interesting. Yeah,
But then also what was funny is you'd have like one or two people that obviously weren't watching it, were doing something else entirely, and were like, oh, just found a really cool new game on PlayStation, or like something. And you're like, dude, like, how are you so out of touch? You're not.
Yeah. I love it. Well, you know, I guess I have trouble with that too, because I find, you know, way back in the day, I'm totally dating myself, before all this internet crap was around, and people would take cameras and then video cameras to like their children's events or, you know, family events or out with friends or whatever it was. And I found that like when I tried to do that, I was missing the event. I was just staring at my camera lens the whole time, and I wasn't actually engaged in the event. And I hated that, you know? And so I just stopped taking really pictures. I might bring the camera and take one or two pictures at the beginning or the end of whatever it was. And that's it. Like if my daughter had an event, that's it, because I wanted to be present in the moment. And I feel like that's what happens with.
I find that's happening a lot. I mean, it's really annoying these days to go to a concert.
Right.
Unless you're in the front row.
Yeah.
All you see is everyone taking pictures
right.
on their phone the
right.
entire time.
Or in the restaurants, the worst, when people are having conversation, you see people on, you know, on the phone, and people are across from them. And I was like, I know. People lost touch
what
with.
What kind of friendship is
so
that?
Have you seen in the restaurants anybody playing this new game where with the, you know what I'm talking about? With the, put the phones in the middle of the table?
No.
So there's this new thing. I don't know, there's got to be a name for it. But
I love
everybody,
this
is, and I like it, right? Because especially if you've got a group of friends that are just, you know, highly, highly addicted to their phones.
Yeah.
Everybody has to put the phone in the table,
right?
First one that, like, has to get it, has to grab it. Has to buy the meal.
Buy a round,
the meal, whatever.
That's awesome. I love that. Because I think I told Elizabeth the story off the air. I'm going to share it with you guys just for fun. And hopefully the person that did this to me is not listening. But I was out with a guy the other day that was a business associate that I had just met. And we had had a couple of lunches talking about some, you know, projects we might work on together. And we were out for lunch and he's totally distracted and, you know, on his phone, checking text messaging, whatever he's doing. Like so much so that like, he doesn't order. He's like, it's just really obnoxious. And so this is going on now for a while. And I don't really care because this is not a, you know, guy I'm interested or anything like that. And halfway through the meal, he says to me, is this a date? And I said, no.
What, between you and your phone?
I know. I said, no. And he said, well, when we go to that event next week that we're scheduled to go to, is that a date? And I said, no. And And then I said, and then he, like, shortly that he, okay, all right. And then a little while later, he said, well, why don't women like nice guys? And I was thinking, because you don't pay any attention. If this was a date, it would have been the worst date ever. Because all he did was look at his phone the whole time. I mean, I'm sure his phone was very attractive.
Now he's going to come to meetings without his phone, so good luck.
Yeah, well, that would be better.
Okay.
That would be all better, right. You know? Okay. I mean, really, all it was right. So weird. I was like, dude, no. This is a horrible date. Horrible. So, anyway, I assured him that my boyfriend would not appreciate me being on a date with someone else.
So let's talk about a simpler time back before cell phones, when pencils were the primary communication.
I know. So we have these two lovely guys in the studio from the Pencil Factory Lofts area.
Segway.
Wow. Nice.
And so before we get into this, and I have to direct this question to Matt because he's been so quiet, but what happened to the actual pencil factory? Where are the pencils made now? I'm very concerned.
I don't know the history of
Matt.
The site. Yeah.
I'm very disappointed.
Probably way back in the day, 20s maybe.
No pictures? You've not seen any pictures of the actual pencil factory?
No. None yeah. Survive.
We have some.
You have some?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we have some up in the restaurant.
You have some? Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. So we can stop into the drafting table and check out some Absolutely. Of the history of the pencil factory. Yeah. I guess not people just use pens now.
Very Pretty sad. Much, yeah.
All right. So, Matt, tell us about the whole property down there and what's going on.
Yeah, sure. So we're Perennial Properties. We're a locally based developer and manager. Pencil Factory is one of our newer developments. It was finished in 2008.
Okay.
So we've got 188 residential units there. So it's quite a large group of people. And they really enjoy living there because of a lot of the retail and commercial options that we have on the site as well. So it's really the type of place where residents can come home. If they drive cars, park their cars on a Friday afternoon, and not really have to get back in them until Monday morning. So,
wow,
I drive right past there on my way downtown, and I've been kind of watching as the property was redeveloped and as different things opened around that area. It seems like there's been a lot of development starting. I mean, that's become a really good anchor, and there's a lot of stuff popping up right around there.
Well, the location's great. I mean, we're, right here beside the King Memorial Station, so it's very accessible, public transportation wise. And then, you're just right there on the border with Grant Park and a lot of other neighborhoods that are within a very short distance.
Right. Cabbage Town is just.
Yeah. Walking distance to Georgia State. It's a fantastic location.
Sure. And MARTA.
And MARTA. So the people, so there's the apartments that are right there and retail, and then still also coming into the restaurants and shops and stuff. All the local neighborhoods can get there pretty easily too.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got everything from Village Theater, which is an improv theater group that's taken up residence there, all the way to, restaurants like Caramba Cafe, obviously Drafting Table, American Roadhouse opened a second location there. So it's become really popular with the downtown, breakfast and lunch group. It's doing really well.
So that's kind of interesting. Even though it's more like residential area, the lunch crowd is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, doing fantastic.
That's awesome.
Well, you've got kind of a captive audience there with all of your residents. And then I guess that's where they're going to invite people to come hang out.
You've got Grady very close. You've got Georgia State, obviously. And, a lot of things happening right there.
State Capitol building,
State
too.
State Capitol. Oh, yeah.
City Hall.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, whatever part of an area you're in, you sort of think like you sometimes don't venture out of your own little mm-hmm. radius, especially if everything's there. So I'm sure that's true for the people in that section, like where we're a little bit further away. So I'm like, yep. Oh, that seems far, but it's really not.
It's really not. It would be, I mean, not even a mile really walk. I mean, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Here from the center of downtown. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Even if you're coming from like 75, 85 connector, you got Jesse Hill exit mm-hmm. and it's just easy access.
Yeah.
That's what I love about the whole place. Easy access from so many different neighborhoods and expressway as well.
Yeah.
And MARTA.
Well, and MARTA, yeah.
And MARTA.
It's really becoming a sort of a destination place, too, because people are coming from all over the city. You can come in, free parking, park there, have dinner at Drafting Table or one of the other restaurants, and then take in a show at Village Theater. I mean, they're hilarious. Thursday through Sunday, only $10 per ticket, so it's really affordable. And people are making a Friday or Saturday night out of it. It's great.
I think free parking is key. We do talk about,
yes.
Even though the parking here is relatively inexpensive compared to other cities, there is still that concern for people. And even I live in Midtown, and even in Midtown, you know, it's hard to park and you have to pay usually. You can get an hour free at some places, but after that you pay. So if it's truly free parking, that's awesome. I think that's got to be a draw for people, for in-town people especially.
Yeah, huge draw.
Yeah, because even when I think about coming into back into downtown, I'm always sort of like, okay, do I walk? Do I park? Do I drive? I don't know, because I don't want to pay or valet or whatever. So that's nice. So that's working out well for your restaurant.
Well, especially being garage parking too. So if it's raining, you can easy access walk in the back door.
Right.
So it's great. No one's getting wet.
So you have a couple other properties around town.
Yeah, I have another place called Midtown Tavern.
Okay. Yeah. And so what made you choose Pencil Factory for your...
I love the location. I was being by Grant Park, the easy access to the place, the free parking was such a plus because you hear that, you know, every day. It's free enough parking, no free parking.
Yeah.
You know, especially my other locations, it's tough to park in Midtown.
Yeah.
So that was just a huge plus.
Yeah.
And that's one thing we're really promoting. It's like we have free parking.
Yeah.
Secured parking. They have a couple security guards, so that makes it great as well.
We'll come back to Matt for some more details on the living stuff down there. But tell us a little bit about the restaurant concept, because I do love to hear about
restaurants.
Food.
We're kind of farm to table. It's kind of played out a lot, the farm to table thing. But we're really like farm to table. Take a lot of local ingredients. You know, local farmers. We use all of our local meats, vegetables. But then you know it is seasonal, so a lot of the vegetables right now will be out of season. So we'll draw from other influences around the world and stuff like that. My chef's Hunter Keels, real talented young chef. We take the whole pig and we'll butcher everything down, use everything on the pig. So we have a little butcher shop in the back. So it's a lot of fun, you know.
So I was watching the Food Network last night, and they were doing like the whole pig thing on Chopped. Like they used the liver and the heart and the whatever and the tail and the ears and the whatever. Do you really do all that? You don't do all that, do you?
We're not well, we will eventually get into that once we get a little more PR behind us. We'll start using like the pig ears and pig's feet. But not like pickled pig's feet. We'll actually brine it, and they're really good. I know it sounds gross, but it's you've got to.
And you're
try
like,
it.
Not even a southerner.
This is like if you could. Southern. I wish this was TV, because if you could see the doubting look on my face right now, I'm very skeptical.
Oh, no.
Those pig's tails on TV last night looked horrifying. I'm just saying.
You just got to do them in a way where they're not noticeable.
So just sneak it in there.
We'll do like shrimp and grits, and we'll put like, you know, shaved pig ears on top, you know, but you won't even notice. It's like crumbles. It's almost like bacon, and that's what it really is, bacon. So it's just like
okay.
And it's really tasty. You'd be surprised.
Okay. If you say so, I'm not sure. But we'll see, Doug, what happens with that. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not sure if I can handle that. But, you know, I guess you're right. If it's snuck in there.
There are more adventurous eaters out there. And
but not
people always
like that.
To try
I'm pretty adventurous, but just
creative cuisine.
Yeah.
Some of the parts, like they were doing heart and whatever. Like,
yeah,
a
that's
scary.
Sometimes.
So when you guys put together the concept for the drafting table and put the menu and all of that together, what were sort of, I mean, the farm to table was obviously
the biggest thing
the
is trying to keep,
theme.
We kept everything underneath $20, which is, I can't even go anywhere in this city and find a menu, what we're doing with duck on the menu, you know, some of the steaks we're doing to keep everything underneath $20. Cause we use the whole part, we use everything so we can keep our food costs down. So that's a big plus, I think, having everything in the menu under $20.
That is huge.
Yeah, that is really amazing.
So funny. Everybody, we're such a cost-effective crowd here. We're like, free parking. Ooh,
under
$20.
Woohoo, yeah.
Well, I think we're still in that time where it's still, you got to adjust. You got to adjust with what's going on. And people, the high-end restaurants are dropping off like flies. You know, you're charging $35, $40 for something unless you're a major steakhouse. You're going to go out of business.
Well, and you know what else? I think that is, bringing it back to complaining, I think that is one of the things that inspires people to complain. Because if you're like, you know what, I just paid $35 and my steak was overcooked, I don't think so. You know, if I pay under 20 and like there's something isn't quite right, I might be a little less angry.
So it's a good out for me. You can't complain that much.
Yeah.
Hey, free parking under $20.
Right. Like, all right, well, they put a little pig's feet on there. That's all right. I'll live with that, you know. So other than like, does the food have a theme at all, or is it just?
Yeah, we're a new kind of a new American style.
You've got to check out this menu.
Yeah, look
on
at the menu.
Website.
We're a new. It's kind of a would be described as a new American menu, meaning you're just taking influences from all around the states, other parts of the countries. You know, it's just whatever we want to do. We're not trying to be trendy. We're not trying to follow trends. We just want to put out great food.
Yeah,
and we don't overlook anything from French fries to homemade ketchup to the pierogies we make. Anything we bring in. And we go to the market every morning. They pick up stuff like, oh, this looks great. Let's bring this in. So
it's great.
We have octopus on the menu. We just picked up a couple octopies yesterday.
This is a new one. 50-50 bacon and sirloin burger.
Yeah, so a lot of press on that right now. Jezebel just did a big write-up on us. That comes out in November. So look for us in November issue of Jezebel. And a 50-50 burger is mentioned because people are really loving it. It's half pork or bacon that we cure in-house for 5 days. And then we blend it with ribeye and ground chuck.
Oh, my God. Sounds
That's
amazing.
All organic meat, all grass-fed. So out of Athens, Georgia, is a farmer we're using right now.
Great.
It must have a really interesting flavor.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you think of like a bacon burger, you know, bacon on top of a burger, but you still get those two distinct tastes. But sort of mixing it together must be really interesting.
Yeah. I watch people eat it, and they just see their facial expressions, and they're just like, you know.
First it's like, huh?
For a minute,
and then, yeah.
Well, first of all, they bite into it. It's all pink, even though we cook it all the way through because the bacon's cured. So it has this whole pink look. So people get freaked out. So now we have to mention in the beginning, listen, it's cooked all the way through, but it's going to look solid pink.
Wow.
So once they get past that, they're like, oh, wow, this is
interesting.
Pretty amazing, yeah.
I think we know where we're going for lunch, Elizabeth.
Yep.
Just saying.
And I was so against putting it on the menu. I was like, it's not going to work. No one's going to want this. And my chef's like, no, let's just put it out there, see what happens. And now it's like, wow.
It's like really getting attention.
Oh, yeah. We're running out every day. So
you guys are open for lunch?
Not yet. We will be. Okay. I'm going to get the late nights going first.
Gotcha.
Once we're profitable there.
Okay.
And exposure, hopefully within the next month. We'll start opening for brunch, I think, around the 17th.
Great.
We're talking. So we'll have, you know, incredible brunch menu. And then hopefully lunch by, you know, 1st of December.
And are you going to have a patio, or do you have a patio?
We don't have a patio right now, but we are going to have a patio. It's going to be more like planters. You know, mm-hmm. have about 8 tables out there.
Great.
So,
yeah. It's Atlanta. We like to sit outside.
Yeah.
But inside, it's real nice inside. We used all recycled everything, recycled wood from old barns, old metals, stuff like that. I'm kind of this little hippie California person in me now. I learned out there just recycling everything, you know.
Yeah.
Gorgeous space.
Yeah.
It really is.
All Edison lighting. Nice. We brought in some lights from old factories from like 1900s and stuff like that. So
cool.
Made this little pot rack out of my old restaurant, this industrial pot rack, and made a chandelier out of it. So, you know, fun things like that.
It's great.
And we'll keep adding and adding. And we got these huge meat cleavers that are going to be hanging outside the building this week. They'll be put up. Mm-hmm. So kind of represents our farm to table butcher and everything in house.
Interesting. So how many seats in the restaurant?
We have 112.
Okay, so yes. Pretty good size. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so just for open for dinner right now,
just dinner 4 to 12.
Yeah. Okay, 12 is pretty
still
late.
Still going late night, so you can still really get a great meal late night.
It's also walkable. I mean, we talked about downtown, but it's also walkable to the old Fourth Ward area, the you know, corner of Edgewood and Boulevard, where so much is going on. You got Sister Louisa's church there. You've got Sound Table. Got all that going on. And then it's walkable to Grand Park as well. So it's, you know, it's really kind of a cool location because you're really walkable from like three or four different kind of distinct areas, and you can get there, you know, within, you know, with less than a mile walk or bike ride or whatever.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of our clientele come from Grand Park.
Oh, yeah.
We do table visits. Easy. Everyone's in Grand Park, so it's a...
So, Matt, when you're are you ever around the property at night? Do you know if people are kind of out and about late like that? Do you see that?
Oh, yeah. More and more every day.
So, because I know some areas you think, like, I don't really want to be out there because I'll be the only one, and that's creepy. You know? Like, you want to be in a neighborhood. Like, Midtown's ridiculous at night. There's just people everywhere, which is weird. It's like a different crowd of people out at night than during the day in Midtown. It's noticeable. So I just wonder, because I know sometimes certain parts of town, you sort of feel like, I shouldn't be out here right now. This is not good. But that's not happening.
No, not at all. A lot of the residents who live there, you know, they definitely do walk, you know, walk to Georgia State, walk to and from work. And then, of course, with the restaurants that we have going on the sidewalk, Doug's about to, you know, build this amazing patio type setup outside on the sidewalk. There's going to be a lot more hustle and bustle.
More
down
buzz,
there.
Yeah. Sort of. So we have to, if you're talking late night, we have to talk dessert a little bit.
Oh, our desserts, yeah.
Yeah,
all homemade ice creams.
Yeah, make me feel bad. Go ahead.
Pies. We do this plantain split. It's a kind of a takeoff of a banana split.
Wow.
It doesn't look like your Dairy Queen banana split, let me tell you. It's all homemade ice cream. You know, we use, you know, vanilla beans, all that stuff, and we use cherries and caramel sauce with the plantains. We fry, and it's...
There we go.
It's pretty amazing. I know we've been doing a lot of fun stuff with beer, making beer ice cream.
Oh, wow.
We use beets. We make beet ice cream as well.
Interesting.
So we're just doing fun stuff. It changes all the time, but the plantain split's definitely sticking.
Interesting. I love kind of these new takes on old ideas, like the, putting the bacon in the burger and using plantains instead of bananas. And like that's
you still make it approachable. That's the whole idea, so people can understand it. And you're not scaring them off or it sounds too complicated of a menu.
Right.
It sounds more intriguing and fun, like, oh, okay, I kind of understand what that says. And then it comes out and you're blown away by the size or the look of the presentation, the flavors.
Yeah, so. Interesting.
Doug, weren't you guys doing a bacon cocktail?
Yeah, we have kind of a bacon whiskey cocktail we're doing, and then once we get our brunch going here, we have our Bloody Mary is kind of layered on the top. Instead of salt, you'll see a lot on Bloody Marys, we do actually bacon dust.
Interesting.
So, it's tasty, yeah.
Dan's like very excited over there. He looks very happy.
Oh yeah, it's my favorite time to like go somewhere, you know, in downtown to walk somewhere. So being a downtown resident,
the brunch.
Brunches, football game, Bloody Mary, it's easy to make a lifer out of me.
With a good brunch.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
So speaking of making a lifer out of somebody, events, are you doing events at all?
Yeah, we actually have a private event this Saturday for a big movie that's being shot in Atlanta here. I don't know if I should mention a name or not. I don't know because they got some high-profile people coming in. But,
oh, I'll be standing outside. Yeah, don't you worry.
I might be able to get you in. So we got more things planned. On the 26th of November or 28th of November, we are planning our grand opening party. So
excellent.
That should be really exciting.
That's very cool.
We're featuring House Spirits Aviation Gin, a good friend of mine in Portland, his company. So he's going to be sponsoring the whole event.
So now you mentioned before we got on the air that you are sort of here part-time and in California part-time.
Well, I'm here full-time for a while until
the restaurant's fully off the ground.
Yeah, and I still like some more, some locations in the city as well.
Okay.
So might be sticking around for a while.
Okay, see? Hotel California. We got you. Yeah. We're never letting you go. That's it.
So... is there still space available if a business wants to get a retail or restaurant spot over there in the Pencil Lofts?
Yeah, we do. We actually have one space left.
One space left. Get it while it's hot.
Yeah.
How close is it to your place, Doug?
I think it's right next door.
So if somebody wants to like leech off of your success, now is the time to open it. I would open a store right next to there. I'd be eating that bacon burger every day. Just saying.
Good deal.
We might take it over if we start doing well, so. Somebody better hurry.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, good plan. So you kind of have your eye on it just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. So what is the mix of retail over there right now?
It's about 30,000 square feet total.
Okay.
So it's a lot of retail. It's a lot of frontage there.
What kind of shops are over there? I know you got a couple restaurants, obviously.
Do some credit card damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know.
Fill up some shopping bags.
Yeah, I was talking earlier about Village Theater.
Right.
We've got a boutique market there, in-town market. They have everything from a high-end deli. They have amazing wine specials. They do growlers now, if you are familiar with that.
I am not. Enlighten me.
Yeah.
They're becoming very popular around town.
They're small refillable containers that you can choose from this like enormous selection of draft beer that they have.
Oh.
You fill the container. After you're done with it, you bring it back, and you can fill it up with something else.
Interesting.
A beer cave with bottles and whatnot. So everything's it's a great place to buy beer and wine and such.
Yeah.
So go to the drafting table. You know,
and then on your way home,
you're not done. You know, you're not done drinking. Stop by the market.
Pick up some stuff for the
road. Fill up a growler.
Right.
You're lucky. You don't have to worry about drinking and driving. So you just have to drink and stroll.
No
problem.
Yeah, my mom's boyfriend sent out this email the other night. It's like, I just want everybody to know that the other night I was out drinking and you know, I'm thinking, I'm like reading this like, oh God, what happened? And then he's like, I did something I've never done before. I took a cab, you know, and then 3 blocks later there was a roadblock and, you know, the cab got to go right through and I felt so good and I just wanted to share the story. And I just like emailed him back. I'm like, you know what I do? I don't get in a car.
Yeah, I just walk.
Yeah.
I fall off the curb occasionally, but no big deal.
Yeah.
It's only 2 inches. No big deal. I love it. Okay, so we've got the market, the comedy. It's an improv place, right? The Village Theater? Is that right?
Right. It's okay. Improv, yeah. They also do some classes there, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I have a friend that's about to start some improv classes at one of the other places in town. I'm going to be interested to see how that goes. Some people think they're funnier than they actually are, and I shouldn't say that because maybe that's me. Oopsie-daisy. Moving on.
But yeah, it's a great time. It's, consistently it has been for the past few months on Yelp. rated one of the top five best entertainment venues in Atlanta.
Nice.
So
how big is the theater?
It's big. It's a you know, fully functioning theater. They have an open bar. It's amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It's definitely one of our kind of, I don't want to say hidden secrets, but maybe it kind of is, you know. A lot of people don't know they're in downtown, and it really is a really cool asset that we've got in downtown. So,
maybe CAP should do a little event over there.
We're going to have some meetings over there and stuff. You know, I think we'll continue to, you know, kind of figure out ways to partner with Pencil Factory and Perennial, because we really do believe in this area over there. And it's close to the streetcar lines. One thing we didn't mention is that
that
once the streetcar is rolling in 2013, it'll be an easy walk, right over to the Pencil Factory from the streetcar. So, we definitely want to continue to partner with these guys.
Now, Doug, was that part of your thought process when you went over there too? Were you thinking about the streetcar coming?
No, I was. I just looked at all the other traffic. I thought that was enough.
And you got lucky with the streetcar. Because that's going to end up bringing, I think, probably a lot of out-of-town people, you know, who
it
are
should.
Here at conventions
and such. Yeah.
People that are staying at downtown hotels.
Yeah.
Bring them out.
To the areas,
so
I think so. I was talking earlier about American Roadhouse, which has been a big success over there. And just that one Labor Day weekend, they had this huge sellout crowd for lunch. You walked in and the whole place was full of, you know, Klingons. It was kind of interesting.
Sure. I love it.
Yes, we do get our fair share of interesting conventions.
We certainly do.
Atlanta's
a great town. Love it. What else do we need to know?
Yeah, about Perennial properties. Anything else?
Well, we're still building, and everything that we build is in town. It's the way of the future. I mean, people are not moving to Atlanta from, you know, other cities and living out in the burbs. They just find, you know, the commute's just intolerable. So, you know, these live work types of neighborhoods are what we're all about building.
And so, Perennial Properties is all rental properties, is that right?
We have done some condos in the past, but right now we're focused on rentals.
Well, because the condo market is still kind of up in arms, I think, in this town.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I guess hopefully, again, for the people who own one, it'll come back. But are you finding that more people are wanting to rent, or what's that look like?
Yeah, well, there's definitely more demand. Like I said, it's a lot of people moving from outside the perimeter.
Yeah.
People moving, young people right out of grad school moving to Atlanta, who just really are just craving this in-town experience. And, you know, it's a lot of our properties right now have Beltline frontage. And if you haven't done it, I strongly suggest that you go out and just take a look. It just officially opened a few weeks ago, but you go out there on a Saturday, pretty Saturday or Sunday, and there's this almost carnival-like atmosphere, just folks just everywhere just enjoying this, and it's really...
You're talking about the East Side Trail, the Beltline
East Side Trail. Exactly.
Yeah, this past weekend I was out there. I couldn't believe how many people are out there.
It's really awesome, and, kind of getting away from downtown just a little bit, but I walked from the Masquerade to Inman Park on the Beltline the other day. It's just amazing. I mean, how fast you can get from those two locations before, you know, that would be a walk that you just wouldn't really think about walking that. Right. And now it's just like you're there in less than 10 minutes.
Wow.
It's amazing. Like, and that, you know, the Beltline will continue to do that. And, you know, obviously we would have liked to have passed the referendum to get the transit on it, but there's going to be trails, you know, all over the city, but until the time we get transit, and we hope that it continues to help businesses like these guys to bring folks to places without a car.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think Atlanta used to be, when I moved here 20 something years ago, I think Atlanta was the kind of city where you felt like you came here and you bought something in terms of property, because it was so affordable, there was no reason not to. Everything was growing, you know, we weren't in a recession then. And, you know, so I think it was like renting was sort of like a temporary stop on the way to owning for most people, even in their, you know, early 20s. But now I don't think that's as true. I think because the real estate market is so wishy-washy, people aren't sure, they're kind of hesitating. Also, you know, lots of people losing jobs and things like that. I think probably rental is more popular now than it probably ever was in Atlanta.
Oh, absolutely. Especially for this, you know, the younger generation, because, you know, they've seen what's happened over the past few years, and now it's like, you know, I've just moved to Atlanta, I'm going to buy something, I'm going to buy a condo. But, you know, having seen, you know, others that have just been, you know, strapped down with
right,
you know, something they can't sell, they can't get off their hands, and, you know, they're really seeing the attraction of renting.
Yeah. It's like certain cities in the Northeast, again, not to always compare to that, but like, you know, New York, there's no shame in renting. Like, everyone rents. That's what you do. Like, you can't buy unless you're Madonna, for God's sake. So, you know, but I think Atlanta's, it's becoming much more sort of normal for people to rent and rent for a longer period of time. Are you seeing people sort of staying on the properties longer?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have on all of our properties, you know, we have folks that have lived there since the buildings were constructed.
Right.
And they, like I said, they just love it's the location more than anything.
And are you guys, I feel like I looked at some of the pictures of the properties and the apartments are sort of more innovative than they used to be too. I mean, they used to be pretty apartment-y and now they're really more livable, more cool, more interesting looking, good views, things like that. Is that
right.
Sort of something you guys focus on?
Right. You've got finishes that you would find in, you know, an upscale condo home and you know, amenities that you just wouldn't find anywhere else. And,
right.
You know, if you're a young professional, you don't want to have a lawn to have to mow every week.
Even if you're an old professional,
exactly.
You don't
want to
have. I was telling the story the other day. I have to always interrupt with my stupid stories, but I owned a house at one point in my younger life, and I was recently divorced, and I got the lawnmower in the divorce, lucky me. So I got out there and I decided I'm going to mow the lawn. First of all, me trying to pull that cord and get the thing to start was hilarious, I'm sure, in and of itself, if the neighbors were watching. But I finally did get it going and I mowed the yard a couple times. And like the second or third or fourth time I was out there mowing the yard, somehow or other, I don't know if I wandered into or it attacked me or what happened, but poison ivy all over me. Horrible. And apparently I'm very allergic. So, I mean, it was like multiple weeks of poison ivy and finally had to get a cortisone shot. And suffice it to say, and here's the end of the story, I never mowed the lawn again, ever. That was the end of that. I hired a service and I will never, ever, ever, ever mow another lawn. Just so there you go. And I am an old professional. So I appreciate a rental as much as the next guy. So Perennial Properties, if people are interested in moving in, are there still open units in Pencil Factory Lofts?
Yeah, absolutely. It's close to being full, and pretty much stays that way. But if you'd like to check it out, you can always visit our website. It's atlintownliving.com.
Okay.
That's a blog that we put out where we blog about different things that are going happening around in town, and also has links back to the ways that you can contact the properties for information.
Okay, atlintownliving.com.
That's right.
And I think even if you just go to Pencil Factory Lofts. .com, it takes you to that site, doesn't it?
Yeah, we have a couple different URLs.
Okay, so you can get there one way or the other.
Yeah.
Or you can call Matt in the middle of the night at home and he'll...
Yeah, call me.
Okay. and Doug, tell us about people finding and getting to the drafting table.
Well,
website?
The draftingtable.net.
Okay, so all the upcoming extension of hours when you add lunches and all that will be on the website?
Yeah, absolutely. It's got a map on there, so it shows everything. It's real easy access.
Okay.
So, doesn't get too much detail about, you know, what's going on, but enough just to cover the bases.
Enough to get you there.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
And before we let you go on that, the name?
The
drafting table came from where?
Oh, the drafting table. A little tongue-in-cheek off the Pencil Factory.
Okay.
And then
I like that.
Yeah, a little tongue-in-cheek. We took a while to figure it out. We figured up like the last minute before I signed a lease.
Nice.
So this is a name. And then it's also drafting food from scratch. Is kind of where I come from on it. So
okay,
it's funny. I was thinking beer.
Yeah, if you see our logo, it's a table with a meat cleaver in it. So drafting table with a meat cleaver.
Kind of I was also thinking like a play on kind of architect / beer.
Yeah, no, we used to have the great beer list, all you know, local brews and stuff like that. So it's crafted beers.
So people can think of it however they want.
Yeah,
as long as they come
kind of
and eat the
just
food,
come,
drink
have
the
fun.
Yeah,
and leave your cell phone at the door. So we're really more of a social type place, and I want people. Not to be on their phone like we talked about earlier.
That's right.
Hey, encourage the game.
Yeah.
I think you should encourage the game. I
Teach
love
the
that.
Game.
It's all about conversation and people you're with, you know, and that's why I said we got away from that somewhere in the last 10 or 15 years. So hopefully we can bring a little of that back and
yeah.
My dream restaurant with people actually having conversations. And
you know what you could do? You could
food.
Do a promotion where if everybody puts their cell phone, you have to have one phone per person in the middle of the table and they leave them there the entire time and they all have to vouch for each other. They get, you know, I don't know. $2 off their bill or something like that. You know what I mean? Like
that's
a little
a good
discount.
Idea.
You know
yeah,
what I mean?
I like that, yeah.
That would be a cool...
It could be my new trend. I could start something.
I think that would be a really cool thing.
Push it out on your social media. Yeah. People, I'd do it.
You can call it Dana's Deal.
Dana's Deal, yeah.
Give me a little credit, you know. And then you can just tell the story about my horrible non-date date with the dude. or not, or none of that. You could just do it. I think that'd be cool.
So, Dan, let's just touch on real quick what's going on in downtown Atlanta.
Right, so we've got Elevate going on. I see you've got that pulled up. That's the art going on.
And I went to the opening party.
Yeah.
We had Camille on, actually, to talk about it. And yeah. It's great. They've had events all over the city. A lot of cool stuff to check out. People
great.
Should definitely take advantage of
yeah,
all
it's,
the
yeah, I'm
free
glad you,
art.
I'm glad you were able to go. And but there's lots more to come, and that's going on constantly with Elevate. So definitely check out our website, AtlantaDowntown.com. It'll link you to the Elevate stuff. And I know the city itself has a website for Elevate. So good to check that out. We have Development Day, Downtown Development Day, coming up on November 7th. We've talked about that a little bit on the last show, but there's it's really an event for folks that are interested in economic development and all facets of economic development related to downtown. So I would love for you guys to come, because it's, you know, thinking about more restaurants, you're thinking about where you can develop and you know, other kind of what the other issues developers are dealing with in downtown. You know, I think it's a really good opportunity. So for anybody, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a developer, whether you're a banker, whether you're working construction, sell products, to companies like that, it's a day where you can really kind of get some good tidbits and make some connections.
We're looking forward to it. I think we're going to stop by after the show that day.
I think we are.
Awesome.
And for people, I know it's getting close to the event for Downtown Development Day, but if people still want to have a booth, can they do that?
Yes. Expo booths are $250 for non-members, $150 for CAP members, and just a great opportunity to meet folks, make some connections. Get your brand out there on a personal level.
Absolutely.
That's all those happening players
yep.
in downtown.
Absolutely.
Business people. Very cool. All right, Dana, I think that about wraps us up for today.
I think so too.
So once again, thanks so much to Matt Futrell with Perennial Properties and
the non-owner.
Haylor.
Perennial is, but Matt is not the owner.
Matt is the asset manager.
That's
He's
right.
managing all of those premium assets over there at
That's
Perennial.
Right.
And they do have some good assets, so
oh, yeah.
it's a good position.
I'll be over.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
And Doug Kaler at the Drafting Table. Definitely looking forward to checking that place out.
For sure.
Yum. Double yum.
Triple yum.
So, and thanks, Dan, for being here from Central Atlanta Progress as well.
Thanks, y'all.
And, of course, thank you to our sponsor, World Trade Center Atlanta. You can learn more about them by visiting WTCAtlanta.com. I am Elizabeth Gordon.
And I am still Dana Barrett, and we will see you next week.